dig for victory and grow your own vegetables. Rationing means a fair share for all of us. Food is a weapon. Don't waste it. Even before propaganda posters and PSAs, the U.S. government has long taken a role in the food we eat. We want a stable food supply, and we want it cheap, and we want it safe. To this day, the government has a role in all of that. I'm Jeremy Bernfeld, and this is Central Standard. Today, we're going to take a look at Uncle Sam's place at our dinner tables and the long history of federal policies shaping what we eat. We'll get to that in just a minute. But first, the Ford plant in Clay Como is the talk of the automotive world. Ford unveiled its new F-150 pickup truck at the Detroit Auto Show on Monday. The body of the 2015 model will be made of 97% aluminum rather than out of heavy steel. Some auto watchers are calling it a game changer for the industry, and the Clay Como plant here in Kansas City is right in the thick of it. For more, I'd like to bring in my colleague, KCR's Frank Morris. Thanks, Frank, for coming in.
Hey, Jeremy.
So, Frank, tell us, what is the big deal? The F-150 is going to be mostly aluminum. You know, why does that matter?
Well, it's the leading edge of a big change in the auto industry. You have these emission or fuel economy standards that are going way up, doubling by 2025. So that the fleet average has to be almost 55 miles to the gallon. One way to really increase fuel economy is to make vehicles lighter. And a way to do that is to use aluminum. Aluminum's difficult to use, though, and it hasn't been used as extensively in very many vehicles at all. There's a couple of Jaguars and an Audi that are made with aluminum, but this is the best-selling vehicle in the United States for 37 years. And so this is a huge volume vehicle. It's a big one too. So when you put all the aluminum in, you save a lot of weight. It's 700 pounds for this truck, and it's going to increase the fuel economy by maybe 10%. But the act of using all that aluminum makes the production of the pickup much more complicated because aluminum's harder to work with than steel.
Well, so getting to that, what does this big change in the industry mean for the Clay Como plant? I mean, as you said, the F-150 is the most popular vehicle on the road. It's made right here in Kansas City. So do we know yet how this change in the building of the F-150 will affect the plant and the workers there?
We don't know exactly how it's going to affect it. I mean, if you're going to produce a vehicle, you want to be producing a Ford F-150. You know, consistently the best-selling vehicle, and the Clay Como plant is one of two places in the country, here in Dearborn, in Detroit, and we produce more of them. This is the lead plant for this vehicle. So what you have is this cutting-edge technology, literally cutting-edge technology, coming in and being done on an enormous scale, a truck a minute in Kansas City. So it's going to give the workers here arguably an edge. They're going to be trained. They're going to be discovering the difficulties. And there are a lot of difficulties in, you know, joining. There's still steel parts. You have to join the steel parts with the aluminum parts. There's a special, you know, kind of corrosion that can happen when that happens. You're working with aluminum, again, it's not as formable as steel, so you have to, you know, extrude it and cast it a lot more. Knowing how to do this stuff is going to be important, and it's going to put these workers at this plant in a position to have the sort of future jobs in the auto industry.
So do we know that this redesigned F-150 will still be built here in Kansas City? I mean, they're not going to take production elsewhere?
That's what Ford says. They say here in Dearborn, the pickup line is going to stay here. And I'm sure there are, you know, good infrastructure reasons for that. I mean, this is not a cheap facility up in Clay Como. Ford just put over $1 billion into it, and the stamping plant next door in Liberty. The stamping plant is where the biggest changes would come. They move stuff around with magnets, and they stamp a lot of steel. When you stamp parts for a car, half of the metal is not wasted, but it's scrap. They don't call it scrap. They call it offal. Like in the cattle industry. So you have to keep all that stuff. And aluminum, of course, is like three times as valuable as steel pound for pound. It's also easier to recycle, which is one of the benefits of it. So having these systems that keep all this stuff separate and work with it, move it around. Again, you can't weld aluminum as easily, so there's going to be a whole bunch of rivets in this truck. And, you know, like space age, crazy, not the kind you would buy at the hardware store. And a variety of kinds. There's special welding techniques. There's a lot of things that have to be done differently when you make the truck out of aluminum.
So that was my next question. We've got space age rivets. We've got a lot of things that have to be done differently. The workers at the plant, they'll have to be retrained for this new technology, right?
Yeah, but, you know, they have to be retrained all the time because, in addition, aluminum isn't the only light thing that automakers are using. They, for a long time, steel has become much, much stronger. I mean, in the last 20, 30 years, steel has become, that's commonly used in cars, five times stronger. The strongest steel is now five times stronger than it used to be. So the steel, that's hard to work with too. So they're constantly having to adjust to different materials. And, you know, people are using, or companies are using carbon fiber in cars. So that it's not just aluminum that they have to think about. And it's not such a crazy thing that they would have to work with a new material. But it is certainly, this is just happening on such a vast scale. Normally, the auto industry likes to innovate incrementally. They'll put an aluminum hood on, and they've been using those aluminum hoods on F-150s for 10 years. So, but you know, you put the aluminum hood on, you've got a little issue of variability. Here you have 1,000 points of variability all at once in their number one vehicle. So I think it's exciting.
Well, speaking of exciting, I mean, I think Missouri Governor Jay Nixon says he's excited. He's happy with this news. So for him and many others near here, as we've mentioned, this is about jobs, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, if this is successful, then it's going to be great. And you're going to I'm speculating here, but normally the way these things work, and it's certainly with the auto industry, requires lots and lots of parts. And the closer those parts are built to the plant, the more efficient the shipping is. Now, they will ship parts from all over North America to build these cars. But if you it's not hard to imagine that you'd have these, aluminum extruding plants that, different ways of working with the aluminum that might be closer to home. Certainly, you've got an aluminum, aluminum producers in Iowa that will benefit from this. But it does kind of cement Kansas City in as a real important part of especially for Ford and GM. But in the auto assembly industry, this raises Kansas City a little bit.
And there may even be the potential for kind of an aluminum building infrastructure to be built in the area or in the region. I mean,
it's too early to talk about that, and I haven't been able to get the aluminum producers to talk with me about that kind of thing yet. But it definitely, as I mentioned before we went on, Ford started building cars in Kansas, second place Ford started building cars. So we've been producing automobiles in Kansas City for almost 100 years. This is, again, it sort of puts us in at the forefront of the industry again, moving forward. So it's pretty cool. And not just in a little way, but in a big way.
So that big way, I mean, this is really a big risk for Ford, though, isn't it?
I think it is on a couple of fronts. These trucks are going to be a lot more expensive to build. And, Ford makes about $11,000 a truck on F-150s now. Maybe they'll eat part of that. There's, some question about, will people want to buy an aluminum truck? Ford keeps saying, this is the same stuff they make military Humvees out of. But people, it's the same stuff they make beer cans out of. So, which, depending on how that works. But I think more importantly, you put all these new processes, and there are a lot, just hundreds of new processes have to be in place to build this truck this way. You can imagine things going wrong. And if there are some problems with the truck, that's obviously going to be a big issue for Ford if they lose their number one selling vehicle, or if things go wrong. But it's also got tremendous upside for Ford if it works, because then they're way out ahead on this technology in a very, very big way, and they've got their gas mileage requirements. They've gone a long way toward meeting those requirements. They're giving everybody in the auto industry a tremendous headache.
So big, you know, high risk, high reward for Ford, and the results of that kind of risk will mean a lot to the workers at the Clay Como plant, right?
Yeah, I would think so. And, you know, Clay Como, again, a very successful plant, been hiring. When they hire, they bring in people from other plants around the system. So they've got this transit delivery van that they're going to start building there soon. That's also, a newly redesigned vehicle that they think has a lot of potential in the United States. It's been selling well overseas for years. So it seems like Clay Como is in a pretty strong position moving forward. Ford's put a lot, over $1 billion into the plant recently. I mean, it's pretty solid.
Frank Morris is the news director here at KCUR. Thanks for coming on to talk trucks, Frank.
Happy to, Jeremy.
In just a moment, we'll be talking about the government and food, so stay here with us.